ओ भगवते वासुदेवाय
ओम
नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय I'm speaking on Sri Vishnu Sahasranama, 1,000 names of Vishnu. Name 269 is Mahendra, which is a well-known name in India. There are many, it's a common name in North India, Mahendra. Although most people don't know what it means. Another common name is Mahindra, just like Mahindra Jeeps. That's a different... Mahindra means the Indra or the leader of Mahi, which means the earth. And Mahendra means Maha Indra, the great Indra. So this is a name for Vishnu. Actually, you see, probably most of the people who have the name Mahendra, they also don't know that it's a name of Vishnu. I'm sure all of you sitting here have heard the name Mahendra before, but probably most of you didn't know that it's a name of Vishnu. So now you know, you learn something about Vishnu that's worth learning about. So, Maha means great, and Indra means the chief or the leader. Indra is especially the name of the leader of the devatas in Swargaloka, the leader of the demigods in heaven, the king of the demigods. So Indra is very famous as what in English we would call a swashbuckling character, and I don't know how to say that in Hindi. It means like a, something like a super Bollywood star, but for real, he's not just acting. Better than Amitabh Bachchan, any day, or even Shah Rukh Khan. We have to make some comparison to help people to understand. Of course, Indra gets his position because of doing many pious activities. And actually, even Amitabh Bachchan and Shah Rukh Khan, they must have done some pious activities to become famous and rich in this life. But you have to be a lot more pious to become Indra. So, Indra is a great personality, no doubt. He's much greater than you or I or all of us put together. There's only one Indra in one universe at a time, and it requires much pious activities. He's a protector of the demigods, very heroic and dynamic figure. He's a great enjoyer of this material world, which is not a very good qualification. Krishna is the enjoyer of the spiritual world. So whatever good qualities we see in Indra, whatever attractive or desirable qualities, those qualities are derived from Krishna, and Krishna possesses those qualities superlatively. And Krishna's qualities, they're also of a completely different category to those of any good qualities of this material world. Krishna is the most... Indra is very powerful. Krishna is much more powerful. Indra's power is limited and temporary, but Krishna's power is unlimited and eternal. So there's a great difference in the quality. Even to Even to compare Krishna to Indra, it's almost like a silly comparison, because Krishna is so much greater. But from our perspective, this is Shaka Chandra Nyaya. We looking at the moon, a little baby is looking at the moon. Little baby has heard the word moon and asks the mother, "What is the moon?" And the mother says, look at the branches of the tree. You see the branches of the tree? In between that round ball, that's the moon. So the moon is much greater than the tree, but because the child has got experience of the tree, therefore, first of all, the tree is pointed out. So in the same way, actually, there's no comparison between Krishna and Indra. For instance, it's described that when Indra sent torrential rainfall to try to destroy the inhabitants of Vrindavan, Krishna at first thought that, well, I think I'll destroy Indra. Then he thought, why should I bother? He's so insignificant. Why should I bother destroying him? So it's like trying to compare a very powerful human, say, trying to compare, say, the Prime Minister of India. He's supposed to be politically powerful. And if we compare him to a rickshaw driver in Bhopal, there's no real comparison. They're in a completely different category. They're both citizens of India, but they're in quite a different category. So the difference between Krishna and Indra is even much greater, but because in this world we only have material conceptions, so we can think of Indra as being very great and then think of Krishna as being much greater. But even this name Mahindra, we don't have to think of the Indra in Swarga Loka to understand this name at all, because it just means the chief person, the leader of all people. So Krishna is the great among all that is chief. Krishna is the chief in all categories. We find in the Vibhuti Yoga section of the Srimad Bhagavad Gita that Krishna points out various wonderful things in this world. Wonderful means they excite a sense of awe, awesome things in this world that represent Krishna. So for instance, Sthavaranam Himalayaha. If we see the Himalayas, who has been to the Himalayas? Has seen Himalayas? Anyone here? Anyone? I've been. You've been. You only went to the Himachal Pradesh. I guess for someone, Himachal Pradesh is to the Himalayas like the Slovenian Alps are to the Swiss Alps. They're the foothills. He's from Slovenia. They have the Alps in Slovenia, but just the beginning ones. And the real Alps are in Austria and Switzerland, the really high ones. So if you've seen the Himalayas, of course, someone who lives there all the time, they won't be struck with wonder. But if we go from Madhya Pradesh to the Himalayas and we see what huge hills, even if you've seen the Alps in Europe, which seem very high, but the Himalayas, they're so high. So they represent Krishna among immovable objects. Sthavaranam Himalaya, Mriganam cha Mrigendroham. Krishna, among all the animals, Krishna is represented by Mrigendra. You see, this word Indram is used to mean the chief of any category. So Mrigendra means the lion. Just like we have also the words just like Rajendra, which means the chief among all kings. It means an emperor. So Krishna, he is the chief in all categories. Pandavanam Dhananjayaha. Among the Pandavas, Krishna is represented by Arjuna. And so on. There are so many he gives. And anything wonderful we see, we can understand that is a representation of Krishna. Another meaning of this name is he who is of great wealth. So that's axiomatic, that the Supreme Person is not a beggar. Contrary to some so-called Swami who made a theory that Narayana is Daridra. He made some theory of Daridra Narayana, that we should find out the poor people and feed them, and this is called Daridra Narayana Seva. But this is a completely nonsensical and actually very rascalish idea, because Narayan means Lakshmipati. There's no question of poverty in Narayana. Poverty, that goes to people who are in this material world. There's no shortage in the spiritual world. So he has got full wealth. That is another meaning of Indra. And of course that also pertains to the Indra of Swarga. He's also not a poor man. You won't find Indra begging at the stoplights. And of course, Indra's wealth is again only a fraction of that of Krishna's. So Krishna is of great wealth. Indra in this world, Indra represents the strength of Krishna. Krishna has six main qualities in full, by which he is known as Bhagavan. Aishvaryasya, Samagrasya, Viryasya, Yashasya, Shriya, Jnana Vairagya Yoschaiva, Shannang Bhaga Itingina. One who has these six opulences in full is known as Bhagavan. All wealth, all strength, all fame, all knowledge, all beauty, and all renunciation. So in this world, Indra, he represents the physical strength of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He's famous for his thunderbolt, very powerful thunderbolt. So that is a representation of Krishna. So another name, the name 270 is Vasudha. Here, Vasu is analyzed to mean wealth. And Vasudha means the giver of wealth. So people may think that I'm working very hard, I'm earning money, which is true from one perspective, but from the true perspective, we should know that after all, everything belongs to Krishna. And ultimately, he is giving. Everything in this world belongs to him. Ishavasya midam sarvam yatkincha jagacham jagat tena chaktena bhunjita magridhas kasya swidhanam. We should know that everything in this world is Ishavas. Everything is under the control of the Supreme Controller. And everything belongs to him. So he allots everyone a certain amount. And we are allowed to take that, but not more. So he gives and he takes away. His name is Hari, he takes away. And he's also Vasudha, he gives wealth. But actually nothing belongs to us. Everything belongs to him. So he gives. And we see that some people, Even without working hard, they're very wealthy. Some people work very hard and try to be wealthy, and they remain poor. So ultimately, everything is in his hands, and he's the giver of wealth. Everyone in this world is mad after money, especially in this Kali Yuga. Vitam eva kalonrinam. What is that? Janma karma gunodayaha. In this Kali Yuga, one is considered a very respectable person if somehow or other he has money. Doesn't matter how he gets it. But if someone is wealthy, he's considered very respectable. He may have the worst character, but he's considered very respectable. And in Kali Yuga especially, everyone is mad after money. But in the spiritual world, people live in full opulence by the grace of Krishna. And they're not mad after money, they just take it as normal. But we here who are all poverty stricken in this Kali Yuga, we're very anxious to get money. So, Krishna, he can give as he likes, more than we can imagine. Or he can withhold, it's up to him. We shouldn't think that I'm working hard, I'm doing everything by myself. Everything is in his hands. There's the case in the Bhagavatam is described of Sudama, who was very poor. But he didn't mind because he thought, well, he didn't even think about wealth, that I should become more wealthy. He just thought, well, whatever Krishna gave me, that's all right. At the instigation of his wife, he went to Dwarka to see Krishna. He was supposed to beg for some money, but as Brahmins they can do. But when he went there, he forgot. He was just so happy to see Krishna, he completely forgot about asking for any money, which was the reason he was supposed to go there. But when he came back to his home, he found it transformed into a palace with massive wealth. So Krishna came. But his mind didn't change. He didn't think, now I'm very wealthy, so now I should go to the casino and invite all my friends over for some Scotch whiskey. He never thought of any such thing. Before he was glorifying Krishna, and afterward he was glorifying Krishna. Practically it didn't make any difference to him, because he wasn't on the platform of thinking of money as being anything very important anyway. So that is the real wealth that Krishna gives. The real wealth is Krishna Prem. If we have that, then we're wealthy. If we don't have that, then we can be a multi-billionaire and be completely miserable. Real poverty is not to know about Krishna. And real wealth is to be fortunate enough, is real fortune, to be blessed with Krishna bhakti. So, Kuvera, he is known, Kuber in this world is known as the treasurer. He's the master of wealth. But the really wealthy person is Krishna. And the real wealth, actually he himself doesn't give it so much. He delegates that to his devotees. Krishna is the vishay of prema. He is the object. And the devotees, they are the ashray. They have prema. Love of Krishna, Krishna doesn't have it. His devotees have it. So the devotees, they give love of Krishna. So we can attain love of Krishna by the process of bhakti. Bhakti leads to bhakti. And especially Krishna Naam, the name of Krishna, is Krishna, and that bestows love of Krishna. The name 271 is Vasuhu. Krishna himself is wealth. Krishna is the giver of wealth. And what is wealth? Krishna himself is the greatest treasure. So Krishna gives himself to his devotees. There's one verse in Chaitanya Charitamrita. Ishvara Swabhav Bhakta Naloya Parad Alpo Seva Bahumane Atta Parjanto Prasad. It means that the supreme, it's the nature of the supreme controller, the supreme lord, that he does not take seriously any offense by his devotees, but if they do a little service, he considers it to be very great, and he gives them mercy up to the level of giving his very self to them. So Krishna himself is the wealth that devotees his desire. That's real wealth. In this regard, there is a narration about Sanatan Goswami, who is a great devotee of Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Sanatan Goswami was living in Vrindavan Dham. Now, one man was in the Himalayas and he was doing tapasya, severe tapasya, to invoke the blessings of Lord Shiva. And he was this man was offering his flesh, his own, cutting his own flesh and offering it to Lord Shiva. So Lord Shiva came and said, "Hey, wait a minute, what do you want? What do you want? Tell me what you want." And the man said, "I want the most valuable thing in the world." So Shiva said, "You better go and see Sanatan Goswami. He's in Vrindavan. You go and see him. He's got the most valuable thing." So this man went from the Himalayas to Vrindavan, and he saw Sanatan Goswami sitting and chanting Krishna Nam, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So this man came and said, "Are you Sanatan Goswami?" "Yes." "Do you have the most valuable thing in the world?" "Yes." "Can you give it to me?" "Yes." "Well, what is it? Where is it?" So Sanatan Goswami said, "You just go over there, you see there's one pile of garbage. And if you look in there, you'll find one stone. It's called Sparshamani. It means if you touch this stone to anything, it will turn into gold. So that's the most valuable thing in the world." The man thought, "Really?" And he looked through all the garbage and he found, is this it? "Yeah, yeah. I can have it." "Yeah, yeah. Take it away." So he was rushing off with it thinking, "This is great. Now I'm going to be the most rich person, I'm going to be able to generate so much." Then he thought a minute, wait a minute. If it's the most valuable thing in the world, then why did Sanatan Goswami keep it in the garbage? And why is he not concerned that I'm just taking it away? He must have something more valuable. He's cheating me. So he went back and said, "Do you have something more valuable?" "Yes." "But you said you were giving me the most valuable thing in the world." "Well, I have something more valuable, but it's not anything of this world." "Well, how do I get it?" "Well, first you have to throw that touchstone away." "Okay, so what's the most valuable thing?" "Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. But it's not anything of this world." So the most valuable thing of this world is insignificant in comparison to the name of Krishna. Just like Indra is insignificant in comparison to Krishna. So the most valuable thing, if we tell people that we're giving away gold coins, not even lumps of gold and not even sparsha money, which turns everything. There'll be huge crowds coming here just to get one gold coin. If it's free, if we tell them we've got something more valuable than gold coins, they say, what, Krishna? They're not interested. They don't have faith. Unfortunate. So Krishna himself is the very wealth. By chanting the name of Krishna, we get Krishna. That Krishna nama maha mantra eto shabhav jai jape tar Krishna upajai bhav. It is the very nature of the name of the Krishna mantra that by chanting that, automatically feelings for Krishna arise. So one who has the wealth of Krishna, he doesn't care for anything in this world. Although devotees in the service of Krishna, they may accept wealth like Sudama accepted it. Or they may accept wealth for the sake of building temples for Krishna or printing books to give the message of Krishna. Personally, devotees have no interest in the opulence of this world, which they see as phantasmagoria. There's that verse of Prabhupada. How does that begin? Kaivalya narakayate tridashapura akasha pushpayate durdanendriya kala sapapatali prodkata dangstrayate. Ah, then what's the next line? Vidya Mahendra, huh? What's the... Ah, there's some words before that. Vidya Mahendra Dishcha Kitayate. Yad Karunya Kataksha Vaibhavavatam Gaurame Vastumaha. One who has received even a slight glance of the merciful glance of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he thinks that being merged, getting free, moksha, getting free from this world and becoming one with the impersonal Brahman is just like going to hell. He's knowing Kaivalya Naraka. Going to the heavenly planets to be with Indra, it's meaningless. Like, if you talk about it to a devotee, he thinks it's just absurd, just like talking about flowers growing in the sky. Akasha Pushpa. Then the senses, which are very difficult to control, he sees them as no more dangerous than a snake whose poison fangs have been removed. Then he sees the position of Brahma and Mahendra, here referring to Indra, as their position is no more important than that of a little bug. See, there are so many little bugs flying around there. A devotee sees, well, probably some of them were Indra at some point. Now they've become a bug. So a devotee has no interest in any wealth, opulence, position, powers of this world. Devotee is satisfied simply to chant the name of Krishna, offer a lamp to Krishna, and have the opportunity to serve Krishna. For a devotee of Krishna to take great difficulties in the service of Krishna is a much more desirable position than to live in great opulence and comfort without the service of Krishna. Because he knows that real wealth is Krishna. Okay, I'll finish there. Vishvam Purna Sukhayate. devotee sees the whole world. This material world is miserable, but for one who remembers Krishna, it's all bliss, all blissful. So what's better, to have wealth, strength, fame, beauty, and be miserable? Or to have no material opulence, no material position, to be spat on by people, but to be blissful in Krishna consciousness? Devotee thinks better to be in Krishna consciousness. Bishoye amake pagala bolaya ongete dibek dhuli. Bhaktivinoda Thakur prays that when I actually get the mercy of my guru, then the materialistic people will call me mad and throw dirt on me. Then that'll be very nice. So we're preaching everything here upside down. Actually it's right side up, and the material world is upside down. The material world, everyone is interested in all kinds of material opulence and what they consider to be well-being. But a devotee sees it all as all meaningless. Only Krishna, that is reality. So, Hare Krishna. What's that? That means the battery is going down. Any question, comment, or anyone want to throw dirt on me because they thought it was a terrible idea to say all those things? Yeah. Many people know many things about Krishna. Many people know many things about Krishna. Yeah, but where do they get their knowledge from? They get it from Amar Chitra Katha, from TV serials. So maybe they know something about Krishna, but they don't know it in the proper way. Even though people are associating with ISKCON devotees, they still have attachment to Sai Baba. It means they're not associating with ISKCON devotees. Anyone who has any attachment to Sai Baba is an idiot. Is they're spoiling their human life. You see, if you associate with ISKCON devotees, and you're attached to Sai Baba, then ISKCON devotees will tell you, you're an idiot, you're a fool, and either you've got to accept it or you just don't, then you won't like to come. We're not going to promote Sai Baba here. Whichever one, Bangalore Wala or Shirdi Wala, they're both nonsense. Then they didn't speak about Krishna. Or just all materialism, that's all. Come to me and I will give you some material boon. They're not God. People who worship them as Bhagawan, they're in complete ignorance. They don't know who Bhagawan is. So we're meant to teach, who is Bhagawan? Bhagawan is Krishna. You won't find Sai Baba in any Shastra, and you won't find any such word. Neither in Gita, Bhagavad, nor for that matter in any Bible, Quran, or it's a modern thing. Sai Baba is ek adhunik vad. It's just something recently come up. Why bother worshipping Sai Baba? If you want to be an idiot, then you want to be a more successful idiot, then just call yourself God. You'll get some following. There are so many people in India call themselves God. And why bother working hard in some job? Just call yourself God. Someone will believe you. But if you really want to know who is God, then you have to know from Shastra. From Bhagavad Gita, it's very clear, Krishna is the Supreme. From Bhagavatam, it's very clear, Krishna is Supreme. There's no mention of this Baba or that Baba or Bapa or so many Bapas and Babas and Dadas and Amas. And they're all just products of Kali Yuga, that's all. We were talking about Swargaloka. If you go to Swargaloka, you'll find everyone there except Vishnu is Supreme. There's some demon in there. No one in Swargaloka worships Sai Baba. Yang Brahma Varunendra Rudra Marutai Stunvanti Divyai Stavair. All the great demigods, they worship Krishna. They don't worship Sai Baba or this Baba or any other Baba. They worship Krishna. Yeah. God is strange for us. So even though we're chanting the holy name, you don't have knowledge about Him. So then you come and you hear. Now, just now, there was a discussion on the nature of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So you got some knowledge about Krishna. And even those who are regularly attending these classes, even though they may have heard these points before, it reinforces our understanding. So you have to learn gradually. It's a gradual process. The process of development of prema is described as a gradual process. Ado shraddha tata sadhu sangha tato nartha nivritti syat tato nishta ruchistata atha saktis tato bhava tata prema abhyudanjati sada kanamayam premna pradur bhave bhavet kramaha. Kramaha means step by step, gradually. So beginning with initial faith, there are various stages. So one has to make progress. But in this Kali Yuga, we want everything instantly. That's our disease. Instant coffee. Flick a switch. Immediate air conditioning. We have to do some work. We have to be serious. Work means we have to do sadhana. Very seriously. This practically every time I give a lecture, people say this. Oh, we're chanting, but I didn't wake up in Rasalila yet. I've been chanting for all of 3 weeks, and still Krishna didn't come and wash my feet. What's wrong? It doesn't work. You have to have some patience. But one thing you should know, this is the real process. It's not some cheating, bogus thing. Just like, I didn't bring up the topic, but you brought up the topic of Sai Baba. This is nothing spiritual whatsoever. People go, for a start, Sai Baba, there are so many Babas, and somehow these Babas become famous. But they're just like some insect like this. They're not God. People call them God, but they're not God. There's no mention of them in any Shastra. And people just go to them, pass my exam, get some more money, cure my backache. Nothing spiritual. This is the real process. We are promoting Krishna. We're not promoting ourselves. We're not going around saying, worship Bhakti Vikaswan. We're promoting Krishna. Krishna is the... If you study Gita, Bhagavatam, it's clear. Krishna is supreme. So this is actually for your eternal spiritual benefit. But don't expect something cheap, just like they have these Christian, what do they call this, Christian faith healing or something, and they say, you believe in Jesus and Jesus will heal you. And they get something, I don't know what they do, faith healing or whatever. But this is, again, it's another nonsense thing, because even if you get your body cured, still you have to die. What happens after that? There's no clear understanding. So we're not giving anything cheap. So don't try to make it cheap. That, well, I didn't get any realization. I've been chanting now for 1 year or 2 years. Definitely some realization is there, otherwise you wouldn't be able to chant at all. But just, the thing is, the whole field of religion is so full of so many cheaters who all promise so many cheap things without any effort. And then you think, oh, nothing happened, I didn't get it yet. You have to have some patience, and we have to be very serious. Our hearts are full of calm, crowd, lo, moha, mada, matsarya. We have to become cleansed of this. In fact, I just gave a lecture the other day in Hindi on the same topic, in Kuwait, I think it was. I told you, if people ask this, you can refer him to that lecture, because so many times people say this. Apparently after every lecture someone says, well, I've been chanting Hare Krishna for 3 months or 3 years or... Good, go on. Keep on chanting. There should be some improvement. Improvement means that first we can see anartha nivritti, that we become not interested in watching TV, going to movies, eating all kinds of abominable things. Our life changes. That in itself is an improvement. All right, anything else? Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.